the Eternity Podcast Network, eternitypodcasts.com.au.
Hello, I'm Jenny Salt, and welcome to Salt, a place where we'll enter into the lives of people and discover heartwarming, sometimes challenging, yet always distinctive gospel stories.
If you said something, everyone would watch you, whether you would live up to how you would express yourself and talk.
My guest today is Barry Hadley. Barry is the embodiment of blue-collar ministry. He began life in the smallest of country towns. He became the local butcher and graduated to living out Christ in one of Australia's toughest industries. Welcome, Barry.
Thank you.
Barry, you've travelled from down the south coast of New South Wales. Where have you come from?
A place called Oak Flats. It's between Kiama and Wollongong. And it,
well, that's a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, it's at the bottom end of Lake Illawarra.
Lovely. And you've lived there for a while. How long have you lived in Oak Flats?
Since I was 3 years of age, and that in 1937,
right.
We moved there.
You were three.
Three.
And so maybe more than 80 years.
Yeah.
That's a fair while. Yes. I wonder whether you can remember Oak Flats then and Oak Flats now. How has Oak Flats, the place, changed over the years?
Well, Oak Flats, mainly it was a development that was opened by Staples and Company up here in Sydney. They bought the land and developed it, and that was in 1920. The first block of land that was sold in 1920. And there was no tarred roads or anything. Mm. It was just all bush and tracks through the bush. If you wanted to get from A to B, and that you picked one cow track and that, and away you went on a push bike or walked. And
wow. I'm sure it's changed very much over the years.
Oh, yeah.
So water, electricity?
None.
Right.
Tank water and that, and fuel stoves, and the lighting, and that was kerosene lightings.
Mm.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up in Oak Flats? What are some of your memories of childhood?
Oh, it was good. You could go all over the place and everybody knew you, and you were friendly with everyone. The father and that bought me a little bike, 16-inch wheels, and I used to ride that around and that, and you had limited friends and that because the population, and so if the father was home and he wanted to get you to come home, he used to yell out, and the sound, you knew the sound of his voice and that, so right, that dad's calling me, and it, so turn around and go back home. And
go back to that, one of those cow tracks that you rode along. And you haven't really left Oak Flats since then.
No.
Why not?
Well, I just liked it, and I liked the life I like the people that were there, they were country people, and the brother always had itchy feet. He went all over the place, and that, but it just suited me, so continued there.
Mm. What about religious life? Were your parents religious, and was church part of growing up in Oak Flats?
It was to a certain extent. There was a hall there that was privately owned, and the Anglican Sunday School, we used to go to that. The superintendent was a chap called Daddy Ayres.
Daddy Ayres.
Yeah, that was, well.
It's an unusual name.
Ayres was his surname, but Daddy was the, everyone used to call him because he was old and everything. And the churches were held in the hall monthly and non-denominational. That meant that the Methodists used to come one week and the Church of England another. And the lady that was the postmistress, she had run the post office store. She used to live just up the road, and they used to go up and get, she had a little harmonium.
Oh.
And we used to carry that down. And,
and that was for the music. And the women were very important in the early stages of church life in your memory. What did they do to contribute to the life in Oak Flats?
Well, they formed themselves into the Women's Guild, the Church of England, and then they set about raising money. We had no land, we had no buildings, services had been held in homes. So they set about, first of all, they raised money to buy a block of land. Then they raised money by making of cakes and street stalls and when the, to build a building. That was how St Andrew's C of E at Oak Flats came into being.
Wonderful. Do you remember, Barry, anything in particular of what you heard as a child in Sunday school, Daddy Ayres or others, what they taught?
Just the usual Bible stories and similar, and it to what it it continued on, and it right up into the wife and I were married, and it, we were teaching Sunday school then.
Okay.
Yeah.
And presumably, what you heard at Sunday school and how you saw people as part of the church living out their lives. When did you become a Christian, Barry?
Well, I can't. I think just came into Christianity, it grew and grew. I mean, some people have got a dramatic experience. I remember we had a mission one time at Oak Flats. There was a couple of ones got up and gave their testimony, and they asked me, and I said, well, I can't pinpoint any dramatic what's-name, but I just gradually, as I learnt and that, put it into practice in my daily life.
Mm. I remember you mentioning to me that Billy Graham, he had various crusades Sydney.
Sydney,
that's and you went to one of those.
Yeah, 1959.
And you went as a Christian, or at least someone who'd been involved in church.
Yeah, well, the mother asked one time, could you take us up? And I said, all right, I'll go. I was a bit curious as to what Billy Graham stood for. So we went there and the car load, and it began to rain. And it was in the middle of winter, and I had this big heavy overcoat on. It's pouring down rain and we're out in the open, and it got wet through, and it felt like a ton of lead on your shoulders. Mm. Billy Graham said, "If you're going to come, come. Don't let the rain and it hinder you." And so I went forward to confirm my faith. And the chap that took me through was a real decent chap. And I made a commitment that I would go back to my own church, and I kept that promise. And I used to correspond with him, and I've still got some of those letters at home.
That's wonderful, Barry. That was in 1959 that you confirmed your faith in Jesus, and you committed to being involved in ministry, whatever that looked like from then on.
Yeah, that's right.
While we take a quick break, let me introduce you to our Associates program. This special Wednesday morning program is for people over 50 who may have more time on their hands and want to dig deeper into God's Word without the pressure of exams or assignments. You can come to one lecture, or a few, or even come to all 12 weeks of lectures. There are different subjects covered each semester, and you'll also join in with the Principal's Hour, our Wednesday chapel service. The Associates program started a few years ago and has proved to be a huge hit. For all the details, visit the studies section at snbc.edu.au and look for Associates program. So, in terms of work life, for a big part of your work life, you had a certain job.
Yeah.
What was that?
I left school and I was a butcher in 1947. The local butcher, Annette, he gave me his job as apprentice. You sign indentures, etc.
Right.
An indentured apprentice.
An indentured slave, maybe. But not. No. But maybe similar to that.
The indentured apprentice used to do a five-year course.
I see.
If you were an improver, what they call an improver, you started straight away to learn the trade.
Right.
And then as you improved, your wages went up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I was for a few years.
You were an improver, or were you indentured?
Improver.
That sounds better to me.
Yeah. But I got sick and tired of shop work. It was funny. There was a local dance there for Saturday night, and you'd go to the dance and that for entertainment. And I remember a lot of them, and that the older ladies and that put it, they'd say, "That meat you sold me and that the other day wasn't very tender." And
oh,
that,
dear.
And
pressure was on, Barry.
In the progressive barn dance, you'd be get all these what's names.
A lot of feedback.
This is it. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Did your background, Barry, in terms of learning on the job as a butcher, apprentice, improver, learning about wages, did that have an impact on you when you worked on the wharves? So really that was the your life as a butcher.
Yeah.
Led into that, didn't it?
Yes.
And you were a wharfie, as they're called, for 40 years. And when we think about working on the wharves, I certainly have an image of what a wharfie looks like and what – I'm not quite sure what a wharfie does. What does a wharfie do?
Well, I joined the wharves at Port Kembla in 1954. And when you joined, you went before a general meeting of 400 or 500 members. They give your background, what union you belong to and everything. And then you undertook by oath that you would, if you were successful in joining the wharves, you would follow the rules of the wharves and you would do a fair day's work a fair day's pay.
This might be kind of a caricature, but I imagine men working, unloading or loading ships
yeah.
with huge containers. And
there was no containers in the first place.
Right.
That came later on. It was all manual work.
Uh-huh.
It could be pig iron.
Okay.
Pig iron used to come around and it was all in a ship. It was all hand work.
Right, so like piece by piece rather than all in a container. So it sounds like it was very physical work. When you look back and think back to working with other wharfies, what sort of picture comes to mind in terms of the type of men and even the colours that come to mind?
Well, the men, most of them, and that were people that had gone through the Depression. And a lot of them, and that what humped the bluey, as they used to say, round Australia. And a lot of them, and that came from different backgrounds and everything. There was Chinese, there was Maltese, there were practically any nationality. We even had solicitors, and Jim Healy was an ordinary worker, and then he studied with the help of one of the ones that was an ex-barrister. They helped him get his degree. They might have started off as just ordinary workers, but they ended up, some of them did further studies themselves.
So these are people who've gone from being a wharfie to being a solicitor to a barrister.
Yeah.
Now that would surprise some people, I think.
Well, in the Menzies era, it's hard to explain. The wharfies were very militant, and you picked one wharfie, you picked the lot.
Right. I must say, I can imagine, and again, this could be a caricature, but I imagine it would be a fairly rough place.
Oh, yeah.
And I am wondering what it would be like as a Christian wharfie. What was it like for you? Because I believe you had a nickname, Barry, while you were on the wharves. What was that nickname?
Well, Bible Basher was one.
But I was told that you had another nickname called Bloomin' Barry.
Oh, that was one of the ones that the chap that used to work with me gave me.
And why would he call you Bloomin' Barry?
Well, because being a Christian, I'd say to myself, now, right, the wharfies were great swearers, and they'd be swearing like anything. So I'd say, instead of swearing, I would say blooming.
Right.
And so that's what he nicknamed this chap.
Yeah.
Did nickname me Bloomin' Barry.
Yeah. It sounds to me, Barry, like your vow, so to speak, at the Billy Graham Crusade of being committed, confirming your faith in Jesus, following him, that it flowed out onto the wharves.
Well, in other words, you practice what you preached.
Exactly.
And if you said something, everyone would watch you. And you had to, whether you would live up to how you would express yourself and talk. And that. So when they'd tell dirty jokes and one thing another, certain ones used to get you going. And I'd used to absolve myself from it. I'd get up. If we were in the mess room, I would get up and I would walk outside, and I'd just stay outside until they'd finish, and then I'd come back in. So if anyone has worked in the army or anything like that, they know what I'm talking about. They all knew what, sooner or later, what you, because you were working with them all the time.
If you enjoy listening to podcasts, I want to tell you about another podcast called Undeceptions with John Dixon. In this season, there are episodes like The Crusades, or What It Means to Flourish, or The History of Religious Freedom, or here's one that you might like to listen to, The Teenage Jesus. To find out more about Undeceptions or other great podcasts, go to eternitypodcasts.com. I love what you say about the importance of practicing what you preach. And obviously over 40 years, you continue to be, to some, a Bible basher and to others, you know, someone who was known as Bloomin' Barry. Barry, you and your wife, and you've been married for how many years now?
57.
57 years. Barry, how did you and Oriel show love to the men on the wharves?
Well, as I say, we're part of a community, that there were wharfies that lived at Oak Flats. And then when I was on the wharves, I thought, right, this was an opportunity to witness to the seamen. And I used to be a member of the Mission to Seamen. We used to help different ones that had problems and everything. And this chap, he was a second engineer and that on a Korean vessel. Some of them, in the days that I was talking about, they would sign on for 12 months. And so I met him and had dealings with him. And he said to me one time, Australians were a bit reluctant to get involved with the seamen. And I said, why? He said, well, we go to the ports of like Indonesia and other ports, we got something in common. But we don't have much to do, only through the Mission to Seamen. So I said, right, when's your time off? And he said, sad day. I said, well, would you be willing, if I came and picked you up, would you be willing to come home with me and have a meal and meet my wife and children? And he was dumbfounded for a while. He said, you would do that? I said, yes. So I did. There was two of the children went out with me to the ship to pick him up and bring him. We had a barbecue and he never got over that. And each time he used to come into his ship, had come into Port Kembla, I would see whether he was still on it or transferred to one of the other ships.
Yeah.
And we kept that going.
And that's showing the love of Christ, Barry. Yeah. That's lovely. When you look back over all those years, 40 years on the wharves, life with Oriel, your wife, and your kids, and thinking about that commitment that you made to the Lord.
Yeah.
What do you love most about being a Christian?
Well, I like the fellowship and the interest in other people. Mm. And if you witness to people and you are honest with them, then my mother used to say to me, always drummed it into me, honesty is the best policy. And I remember in one of the butcher's bosses that I had, he said, you'll never make a good butcher. I said, why is that? He said, you're too honest.
So you're too honest to be successful as a butcher.
Yeah.
Barry, you've lived a full life and hopefully many more years to come. Yeah. But it's so encouraging to hear about the way that you've lived out your life as a Christian, as a butcher, as a wharfie, as a husband, as a father.
Yeah.
And it's just encouraging to hear about whether people call you a Bible basher.
Well, it was a feather in the cap.
It is a feather in your cap, absolutely. Yeah. And I love what you say about the importance of practicing what you preach. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
That's okay.
I hope you've enjoyed being part of the conversation with Barry today. And importantly, been encouraged to be salt and light to those around you. For our final episode for season 4, I'll be talking to Tim Costello, not just about his high-profile involvement in disaster relief, but the family life that set him up to love everyone made in the image of God. I'll see you then. Salt is hosted by me, Jenny Salt, and produced by Mark Hadley. Editing by Hadley Inc. For all show notes and more episodes, head to sbc.edu.au/salt. Salt is a Sydney Missionary and Bible College podcast and part of the Eternity Podcast Network, an audio collection showcasing the seriously good news of faith today. Thanks for making Salt possible.